Rick, what's up?
Not much, man. Just sitting here grinding through some traffic on the way to do some midday radio here in New York.
I want to get into the radio in a little bit, but we were talking about playing as kids, and I believe it was a couple of summer tournaments with Dale Dunbar, and I was trying to remember who else was on that team. I have like a Tim Connolly, Andy Hilbert. I believe it was Ron Hainsey on that team as well.
Yeah, Ron Hainsey. We had Freddie Meyer. I mean, that may be one of the greatest 12-year-old teams that Dale Dunbar's Pro Stars ever assembled.
Yeah, because I have the team picture at home, and you know, it's funny, when I started playing and all of us were in the NHL, she's like, hey, you guys were all together on a team at such a young age, and it's awesome to see that you guys have made it so far. So, yeah, those were the good old days. But, yeah, back to radio. How are you enjoying it?
I love it, man. I love it. And the fact is, I'm a huge sports fan outside of hockey, baseball, football, and unfortunately, I have to watch the Knicks right now, who are a complete train wreck. But
ruin RJ Barrett for us. Please keep that boy safe.
The Maple Mamba. I feel bad for this kid, man. He's going through it right now. He's out. I will say this though. I give him credit, man. He's playing a ton of minutes, and he's had a couple games here over the last few where he struggled offensively, but he was good again last night. He's the real deal, man. I'm really happy we got him.
With Rick DiPietro, before we get into Leafs Islanders tonight, Rick, take us back a little more than a decade to when you signed that 15-year contract with the Islanders, because I could be wrong on this, but I think yours was the first of those really long deals that were signed. Who approached who about the term? How did you piece all of that together?
Well, it actually happened the year before I signed the deal. I was approached by Mike Milbury and Charles Wong, God rest his soul, the owner of the team at the time. And I think with the, you know, with the hard salary cap, they were looking for a way, because, you know, I had made it pretty clear that I wanted to be an Islander for life, some way where they could lock me in but keep my average annual salary down where it was manageable. So the first offer was the 15 years. The league said no. And then I think they had some time to think about it. And the following year, the same 15-year deal was offered, and the league agreed to it. And I said, I mean, that for me was a no-brainer. I mean, I was, the second they offered, I said, absolutely, 100%, I'm in. And, you know, obviously, I hoped it turned out differently. I could have imagined, you know, winning a Stanley Cup and then retiring and, you know, working for the team. But didn't work out. But, you know, I was happy. I was happy to be a part of it.
Did you ever, you never regretted signing for that many years?
No, I mean, that's really what you want. I mean, you can ask Ziggy the same question. I think that, I mean, that's the only thing you can ask for as a professional athlete, is have that that stability in your life, and you know, could just, rather than having to focus on, you know, being a free agent and, you know, how much money was I going to get, was I going to have to move, I just being locked in for 15 years with the same team, you could just focus on being an Islander and, you know, obviously trying to win a Stanley Cup. So, no, I mean, there would be times when we discussed the deal at the beginning, you know, there would be times if I played how I was supposed to play where I could potentially be underpaid, but, you know, by the end of it, in the last, you know, 5 years of the deal, I could be overpaid. So it seemed like a fair deal at the time on both sides.
Rick DiPietro, our guest on Leadoff with Ashley, Ziggy and Scotty Mac, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. So this Islanders team, Rick, loses three of its first four games in regulation and has not lost in regulation time since, 11-0-1, and that included a 10-game winning streak. Is this team, over an 82-game schedule, for real?
I think it is, man. And the only game that they ended up losing, not losing because they still got a point, was a game against the Penguins where they had a 3-0 lead. So, I mean, this is no fluke. I mean, they were the best defensive team in the NHL last year, and they're the best defensive team in the NHL this year. And I mean, defense travels. I mean, could they use one more piece up front to go with Matt Barzal? Yeah, they probably could. But, you know, as far as, you know, what you can expect every single night consistently from this team, especially in the defensive zone, I mean, Thomas Grice has a .942 save percentage right now. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's a real testament to, you know, what Lou and Barry Trotz were able to do over a real short period of time.
Yeah, if Barry could just come into Toronto briefly, just for a quick overnight stay, and maybe host a clinic on defensive play for the Maple Leafs. We'd really appreciate that at around this time, sir.
Yeah, you guys are killing me. One of my bold predictions for ESPN this year was that the Maple Leafs would finally slay the Dragon and beat the Bruins in the playoffs. And I still think they can, but I agree with you 100%. The one thing that needs to be cleaned up, and I get it because they're so, I mean, they're so fast and so skilled offensively, you got to take care of your defensive zone first.
This is the thing about the Islanders, and they play so well defensively, and the Leafs have had these spurts where they play well defensively, but then can't score any goals. But then I look at the stats on the Islanders, you don't have anybody with over a point a game. How does this team do it then? The Islanders,
this
how does
team
the
Islanders? Okay, well, they got a stud. They have one stud. Matt Barzal is phenomenal. Mm-hmm. I mean, he still has, you know, ways to go before he finally reaches, you know, what he'll end up being. But, I mean, they have four really good lines. I think, you know, unfortunately, there's no Matt Martin right now. I think that for them is a huge asset, having that Clutterbuck, Martin, and Cizikas line, the versatility of that line. And they just roll it, man. Roll four lines. They get secondary scoring from, you know, from the Brock Nelsons of the world, you know, Josh Bailey, Anders Lee, Taze has been a pleasant surprise. So they spread it out. They don't have one star, but Ziggy, you can play it on a play together. Teams don't have.
Oh, we're losing you.
Play together as a cohesive. Sorry about that. Can you hear me guys now?
Yes,
yeah.
I can.
I'm sure Ziggy's played on a bunch of teams, not the Pro Stars because that team was loaded, but teams that don't have a ton of talent, when you play as one cohesive unit, man, yet you have success, and that's right now what the Islanders are doing.
Yeah, no, and I like that view on, you know, having four lines and playing as a team. Do you believe maybe like the Leafs, what was it, 10 new players on the roster? Would that be hard for the Maple Leafs kind of? Would that cause the problems early on in the season?
Yeah, I think it will take some time. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, you're all of a sudden trying to get used to having that many new guys in your lineup, trying to learn, you know, trying to learn a new system. That's never going to be easy. I'm sure they'll figure that out. They have too much talent not to figure it out. But the amazing thing for me is, in kind of the unfortunate thing for us as Islanders fans, is that John Tavares.
Oh.
All right.
That's
yeah.
It.
We'll attempt to get Rick back on. We only have a couple minutes left with him.
There's
anyway,
a lot of bridges.
Man,
there's some tunnels in New York. Maybe
John,
he's like on the way from Jersey into the city.
But isn't timing everything? Da 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 da. John Tavares.
And then gone. Everyone's just like, whoa.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's where I wanted to go
okay.
Next.
So, Rick, pick up the John Tavares thought. Those are the last two words, John and Tavares, that we heard from you.
John and Tavares. And also, I don't understand how I pay so much tax money and I have no cell phone reception anywhere in New York, but that's a different story. A lot of the people that obviously I talk to on a daily basis, Islanders fans, people that work for the team, just it was unfortunate for us that John Tavares didn't have an opportunity to play for Barry Trotz and to get a feel for his system, how much success he would have in the system. I couldn't believe it at the time that our best player, arguably one of the best players in the NHL, could leave, and in the course of one offseason with a new head coach, you could turn it around as quickly as they turned it around. Pretty impressive.
What do you expect from Islanders fans now that John Tavares is coming back again for the third time? I feel like he got a ton of hate, the snakes on the ice, the signs, the vitriol that was being spewed at him, but they only hate you that hard because they loved you so much. So in a way, it's a compliment, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But do you think that that anger and that aggressiveness is still going to be there tonight?
No, I don't think it will. I think that there will be some people because, I mean, he was the face of the franchise. He was our hope. If we were going to win a Stanley Cup, it was going to be because we had John Tavares. And I get it. I mean, I got 1,000 phone calls, you know, where's he going to end up? Where's he going to end up? I don't even think he knew where he was going to end up. I know he loves being in New York, but, I mean, let's face it, chance to play for a team on the verge of winning a Stanley Cup, you know, where you're from, that's you can't pass that up. So, understandable, I think. You know, the fan base now has kind of accepted the fact that he's gone. We got our, you know, Matt Barzals and Anders Lee and Josh Bailey, and so the fan base is excited about that. So I think what you said is 100% the truth. The only reason why they're so angry is because, you know, we, myself included, having a chance to play with John, we love them so much.
Rick, before we let you go, The Islanders fan, I know a couple of them. They are diehards. So you've got the Rangers. That's the marquee hockey franchise, Madison Square Garden, Manhattan, New York City. You have the Devils with all the cups through the mid to late 90s and the early 2000s, and they're out there in Newark now. The Islanders, they play at the Coliseum or they play at Barclays. They've got a new rink hopefully coming at Belmont. This fan base has been through a lot with not a lot of success over the last 20 to 25 years. But describe this fan base, because I'll never forget that 2002 playoff series with the Leafs. When they are into it, man, are they into it.
No, I'll never forget that series, too. I got called up from Bridgeport with Trent Hunter to come watch those games at the Coliseum, and I'll never forget when Sean Bates scored that, when he scored that penalty shot goal, we were sitting up in the press box. It felt like the Coliseum was going to collapse on itself. It was crazy. This fan base is, it's an unbelievable fan base. It's a loyal fan base. I mean, I think a lot of people forget, or I don't think we've ever done a good enough job of having those, which is probably, in my opinion, you guys can argue with me if you want, but you know what the team in the 80s did, that's one of the greatest accomplishments in the history of team sports. And there was a huge disconnect between that team and what those guys did. And then, you know, as we move forward, we didn't kind of carry on that legacy. So this fan base is hungry. This fan base is loyal. And they travel. They go to Brooklyn. They go to the Coliseum. I'm sure they'll be out in droves when it ends up in Belmont. But, I mean, I think you guys got a glimpse of it last year. First round of the playoffs is at the Coliseum. Mm-hmm. Distinct home ice advantage. And then all of a sudden they go to Brooklyn. And I get it. Carolina's a really good team. But you didn't have that same kind of intensity in the building that you had at the Coliseum.
Good of you to do this, Rick, with an old teammate of yours from 12 years old. Hope we can catch up again soon.
No, my pleasure. Ziggy, can you imagine after that 12-year-old team, the only one of us left in the NHL would still be Ron Hainsey? Can you believe it?
I can't at all. Do you talk to him at all?
I talk to him. What the funny thing is I had Ron. So Ronnie loves sports as much as we do. So I had him on maybe last summer. I had a whole week of my co-host was on vacation, so I had Ron come down, and he spent the whole week with me co-hosting. So I say some crazy stuff on the radio, and I get dumped occasionally. He has the longest dump in the history of our show. He got dumped three. We lost 21 straight seconds of radio because he said something so ridiculous that we had to dump him.
What were you guys talking about?
I don't even know what we were talking about. Then he makes this crazy analogy about Barack Obama. Like, he went into this whole long diatribe about if you took George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And then he looked at me. He pushed his microphone away, and he had a big smile on his face. Like, that was great, right? And I was like, No, dump it.
Dump.
That's the morning dump.
Yeah, a morning dump. And that's the only person who heard that, Ron, was me, because we dumped 21 seconds. Thanks, Rick, for this. It was awesome.
Thanks, bud.
Thank you so much, guys.